My why is my community and really fighting for equality and inclusion for people who historically have been excluded from benefiting from formal markets. I started my entrepreneurial journey as a Peace Corps volunteer in West Africa. After college, I moved to Mali and worked at a community health center for 2 years. And that's what really sparked my interest in economic development.
Hi, and welcome to Women CEO in Reflection, a podcast dedicated to personal growth and mental health discussions with women CEOs across the globe. It's here where inspired women get candid about what drives them to succeed and the personal challenges they've encountered on their path to success. So if you're a woman on a mission, this is the podcast you don't want to miss. So sit back, relax, and let's get candid.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Women CEOs in Reflection podcast. I'm your guest host, Ilana Preuss, founder and CEO of Recast City and author of Recast Your City, How to Save Your Downtown with Small-Scale Manufacturing. I'm here alongside co-host and producer Neil Haley. Today, I have Rahama Wright as our guest to talk about why we do this work, what inspires us, and what about our community makes a difference. Welcome, Rahama.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So Rahama, you are the founder and CEO of Yaleen Enterprises. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You pronounced it perfectly.
Excellent. Which includes both Shea Yaleen, the social impact beauty brand, and the Yaleen Beauty Makerspace, which is about creating opportunities for other beauty brands in the DC area, which I am, you know, all about product businesses. So I'm so excited to talk to you today. So my first question for you, and there's so much we can talk about, is what is your why? Right? You're doing so many amazing things, both in DC and internationally. Why do you do what you do? Why create and fill this role, not only within your business, but within the community? What motivates you to do all of this?
Yeah, no, well, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. My why is my community and really fighting for equality and inclusion for people who historically have been excluded from benefiting from formal markets. I started my entrepreneurial journey as a Peace Corps volunteer in West Africa. After college, I moved to Mali and worked at a community health center for 2 years. And that's what really sparked my interest in economic development and creating business models that are inclusive, and specifically initially around how we source ingredients from the continent of Africa and how that sourcing impacts local communities. And I initially launched Shayaleen to really bridge the gap between these producers of a skincare ingredient called Shea Butter and helping them be able to generate living wages from their knowledge, from their labor, by connecting what they do locally in their rural communities to making products and developing, you know, distribution for body care and personal care products using those ingredients. And by building that business model, we help increase women's income 5 times their country's minimum wage, giving them a living wage for the very first time. So I didn't get into business to become a billionaire or, you know, run a unicorn business model. It was really about community. How can we create more equity? How can we create more shared market value for those who typically have not been included in a lot of the economic prosperity we see in many parts of the world?
And you're clearly taking those same ideas and applying them within the DC area with the Beauty Maker space to create more opportunity for more business owners or startup business owners who have beauty product ideas. Can you share a little bit more about the evolution of that and sort of your connection to the DC community to create that opportunity locally as well?
Yeah, so when I finished my Peace Corps service, I moved to DC. DC is the first city I ever lived in. I was an intern for the State Department my senior year of college and just kind of fell in love with the city. So I knew that after my Peace Corps service, I would move here. And over the years, I see a lot of similarities in terms of the communities I work with in West Africa. Now we work with rural villages in northern Ghana and some spots of DC where there just isn't as many economic opportunities and job creation for people locally. And so the evolution of working in these rural villages, seeing an issue around plant-based ingredients and how these plant-based ingredients are made and brought to market, and connecting the dots to early stage beauty businesses here in the district, here in DMV, and seeing like a lot of the same challenges and similar opportunities is what propelled building the Yaleen Beauty Maker Space, which is actually in progress. Hopefully we'll launch early next year, Q1. And the mission is the same: help individuals who need access to production equipment, access to technical support, the knowledge in terms of being able to make a product, and giving them a full ecosystem of support services that gives them the ability to bring a product to market. So we're just taking what we did, what we've been doing all these years in these rural villages, and now replicating it in a rural, in an urban environment in DC, and providing the same opportunity for makers to be able to develop products that we can bring to market.
How did you come up with that idea? Like, what is that? I mean, it's so smart to, you know, come up with something different and out of the box. That's for sure.
Honestly, I wish I could say that I was brilliant, but I'm just borrowing from the food industry. So I noticed that so many food businesses have access to commercial kitchens. And it actually was a pain point I have for my own business, Shayaleen, because I was having so many problems being able to find manufacturing facilities that were right-sized for my business and right-sized for small business. I'm sure, as you know, manufacturing really isn't designed for small business. It's designed for large companies because of the MOQs, the minimum order requirements. They just don't align when you're starting out a business. You can't do 5,000 units, 10,000 units, 25,000 units of a product. And so I faced a similar pain point. And I thought to myself, oh, well, there's got to be some sort of shared manufacturing happening in beauty. And I started doing research because I knew that would help my business. And I realized that there wasn't. And I was like, well, why do food businesses have access to these spaces, but beauty businesses don't? And so that's what propelled that idea. And at first I toyed with just like, you know, figuring out how to build my own manufacturing facility for my own products. And then that evolved into creating a solution for other companies as well that have similar pain points and challenges like I do.
I love the building off. I believe in stealing all of the ideas from every other sector, right? So I love that you're doing that with the beauty products. And, you know, in some of my work in the DC area, there are just some amazing business owners I've met who have beauty product businesses and have hit the same question. They don't know how to get it certified with the products. They don't know where they can create even 100 of something, let alone 10 of something when they outgrow their kitchen. And so yeah. I think this is a phenomenal model that is, I can't wait for it to be live and in person so that we can show everybody else in the country how they can replicate it. Because I think just like commercial shared kitchens have exploded all over the country, this is something else that we could see happen in a lot of places. Can you share a little bit about if there's a moment or a person that really made a big difference in helping you get to this point, either with the business or with the idea of the shared production space? You know, sometimes we have a pivotal moment like that, and I'd love to just hear from you about any impacts like that.
I wish I could say there was just one. Honestly, I feel super lucky that over the almost two decades I've been an entrepreneur, that I've had so many supporters and so many people who have helped me along the way. I mean, if I think about just in the local DC small business community, the director of the DC Small and Local Business Development Office, so the small business office here in DC, Director Chrissy Whitfield, she's been a huge supporter and just an incredible mentor. And I've worked with her office pretty consistently since 2018, developing things like local pop-ups for other small business owners, where we like will take over a space and outfit it to support sales, branding for other businesses that are run by people of color. And her office has supported it with technical assistance, as well as providing us grant funding to pull these things off. And so just knowing that, you know, in the last, roughly 5 years, I've been able to develop such a great relationship with policymakers and people who are in positions that can help small businesses, and actually contributing to the policy development in terms of sharing the needs of small business owners and makers, because makers have different pain points and different challenges than, you know, maybe a service or, you know, run business or consulting firm or tech firm, et cetera. And so being able to have her support and her office's support has been incredible. And then I have a group of mentors. Mike Wege is one who comes from the CPG world. He was the former chief administrative officer at Hershey Company. And so he really understands, and he also ran his own like marketing and branding company. So he really understands like how to build an effective brand, you know, how to tell your story, how to get into retailers and retail distribution, building out financial models, and just having someone like him who has been just, I can pick up the phone or send him a quick text message and say, hey, I'm having this problem. Can you help me? And so I always tell people, you know, when I started my business, it was in my early 20s. I knew nothing about CPG. I knew nothing about beauty. It wasn't like I interned at a huge beauty company in Paris or New York or LA. You know, I was in a small rural village working with farmers and learning about these plant-based ingredients. And so I really started from zero. You know, I had to like learn all of these things, how to do manufacturing, how to create a brand, how to do packaging, how to get into retail. And the only way I've been able to get this far in my entrepreneurial journey has really been the people around me. And so I always tell people, you know, you may not have the funding in place. You may not have a fully fleshed out idea yet, or marketing plan or a business plan. But if you have the right people around you, they can help you get there. And that has been my experience.
I love that. It's really about the community that we surround ourselves with. Right.
Absolutely.
And I'm with you 100% on the product businesses, the maker businesses. You know, I call them small scale manufacturing, right? The kinds of challenges that sector faces are just completely unique to, from service sector. And the hidden gem in every local economy, doesn't matter how big or small you are. So I love your focus on that. Can you share a little bit about some of the hard stuff too? Like, what are some of the major challenges you see in your field or in your work in the coming year? How do we get ahead of that? A lot of things are changing still and rapidly again in different ways. And I always feel like it's important for us to really think ahead around those things. So what are you seeing?
Oh, there's so many challenges. You know, I think there are personal challenges, but then there are just like industry challenges and trends that are happening right now that are super concerning to me. I mean, I think the Supreme Court decision around affirmative action is now bleeding into the business community. And we're seeing, you know, funds and programs that are set up to create more inclusion for people of color, for women being under attack. I think that's a huge concern that collectively as a business community, we need to look at seriously and see how we can prevent the taking away of resources that are already so limited. I mean, Black women-owned businesses generate less than or attract less than 0.35% of venture dollars. And this is a crunch-based statistic. And so when we see people suing funds like the Fearless Fund that was set up to create more opportunity for women of color, for Black-owned businesses, super concerning because we don't even get half of a percent, you know? And so I think that that's one issue that's very concerning. Access to capital consistently has been an ongoing challenge in my business as well. And we shouldn't constrict or restrict programs and institutions and organizations that are trying to create more equity in an industry that is very exclusive, honestly. And then when it comes to manufacturing, I think that we need to see more manufacturing models across the country and not only looking at manufacturing for large companies, but really thinking about how can we create manufacturing solutions for small businesses? How can we create urban manufacturing? Because typically when we think about manufacturing, we're only thinking about, you know, 100,000 square foot facility somewhere, you know, in the Midwest, cranking out these trinkets or whatever. But I think there's huge opportunity to look at areas in urban communities that are underserved, that do not have enough jobs, where you can adapt and create manufacturing models that are smaller scale, right? but allow for makers and allow for small businesses to address some of the gaps that are in manufacturing. Because as I've said previously, we need models that are designed for small business. We need models that are designed for micro businesses. And those models don't exist. And I think it's a really great intersection of working with local policymakers, working with the private sector, you know, and funding institutions, working with real estate developers, you know, all of these stakeholders can come together and say, how can we create new models that really center and amplify and support the needs of small businesses?
I love those pieces. I think you're spot on. I look at what the attacks on the Fearless Fund that are going on. And I did a whole program working with small business lending organizations, you know, and my question is, why aren't we suing the ones that haven't actually reached the demographic diversity of the community all of these decades in the flip of the exact same equation, right? A great speaker we had on another event a couple months ago said, you know, equity isn't a word, it's an action. And so if we're not taking that action, then we're not actually doing anything about equity. So I'm 100% with you on that. And I do think on the models for small manufacturing, there's so much going on in places like Baltimore and other smaller cities where people don't even know about it. But then on top of that, this need for what I would look at as contract manufacturing for small businesses, you know, somewhere in the region, somewhere on this coast, or domestic in different ways. And how do you build that strong network for businesses who need 100 of something or 200 of something or 50 of something as they're getting started? And what do those models look like? I think we do a lot as a nation with startups, and then we don't do a lot with scale-ups. Right. And we want to get their attention again when they're scaled or they're ready to be at scale. And we don't really do anything in between. And it's a big gap in what's going on nationally. So what advice coming out of all of this, what advice would you give young women looking at the field and aspiring to do what you do and what you've done and what you continue to do? What would you say to them?
I would say to them, don't be intimidated, don't be scared, you know, be bold, take up as much space as possible. But when you are bringing an idea, a vision, a mission to life, you need to have the right people around you. I know I'm kind of repeating this, but it has been like so critical to my own success that I really encourage people to really cultivate and develop those relationships that can help them. Don't be intimidated when you're talking to council members or local political leaders, because they're in those positions to help us and we have to hold them accountable, right? If you don't feel confident about what you're trying to do, reach out to the various organizations like the SBA SCORE program, where you can have access to an advisor or consultant to help you for free, right? To help you figure out what your marketing plan or business plan or financial model could look like. I tapped into those free resources. Know who's in your local business ecosystem. Connect with your tribe. Connect with people who are aligned to the same things that you want to be aligned to. So for example, the maker community here in DC is a strong and thriving community because makers came together. And, you know, the small business office I mentioned earlier started a whole program to support Made in DC, and they put some funding behind it. And so, again, when you bring those different stakeholders together and they're working for common good and common mission, it makes it a lot easier for small business owners. And so for that dreamer, for that person who's maybe sitting on the sidelines and hasn't yet taken the leap, I say take that leap. You know, educate yourself, become an expert, know what problem that you're solving, and don't be afraid to start. Because again, when I launched my company, my social impact business, I knew nothing. I started with zero. But those tiny steps in the beginning turned into major moves that helped me get to where I am today.
helped you get into Macy's and all sorts of amazing, huge national platforms. So just to make sure everyone's clear, this is no small shop that Rahama is talking about.
And if you're looking for products, this is what they look like.
Yay! I love this.
Product placement.
Yes, absolutely. So Rahama, thank you so much for joining me here today. I love talking about this with you. I'm a huge fan and I can't wait to get to see the Eileen Beauty Makerspace. And tell everybody about the amazing things that you're doing. Continue to tell people about that. Thank you so much for joining today.
Thanks for having me. It was nice meeting you, Neil.
Nice meeting you too. All right.
Thank you for listening to Women CEO in Reflection. To reach out to one of our guests, their contact is in the description of the show. Do you want a total mindset transformation? Apply to Mindset Warrior, The Art of Intentional Thinking, my personal coaching bootcamp at iamamindsetwarrior.com and schedule your call with me today. Thank you.